Romans 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God, who is always giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I love that verse. I've taught on it a lot this last week in our Lazarus weekend, because it reveals to us that victory is a person, not a formula, and that it's a gift who giveth us the victory, who's continually giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the victory that was accomplished at the cross, but the victory that was accomplished at the cross applied into our experience per situation, per temptation. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, who's giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this in 1 John chapter 5. It says in verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." And so he talks about Jesus being the one who gives us the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, then he says, it's faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And so there's this connection between the Christ who lives in us, prepared to manifest, to enforce his victory in us at every temptation, to enforce his victory over the powers of darkness through us as we minister to the lives of fallen and broken humanity. And yet there's a connection to faith, because he says, it's faith. The victory is faith that overcomes the world. And another dot to connect is when Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. This whole thing about being overcomers, because Christ himself has already walked the road. He was tempted in every way like unto us, and the one who didn't give in, who, as the Son of Man, lives inside of us. And he's the overcomer. He's already proven it to us. We can be confident that we'll never face anything he hasn't faced, because he's been tempted in every way like unto us. So we'll never face anything that Christ himself hasn't faced in his humanity on the earth, and now is prepared to face in us. He gives us the victory, and yet there's a connection called faith. Now in the 1 Corinthians 15, it kind of gives you insight. That thanks be to God, that's sort of the language of faith. But here's what I wanted to show you today, is that there's this interesting scripture in 2 Timothy 2:13. I know this is what it says in the King James. It says, "Even if we believe not, he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself." The language being is that he can't stop being who he is. And even when we believe not, he abides faithful. One of my favorite stories, if you've been around here long enough, you've heard me tell it. One of the great missionaries in history was a man named Hudson Taylor. And one of the great books you'll ever read is called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Radical, it'll change your life radically if you've never read it, or if you haven't read it in a long time. He was a great missionary, struggled with just defeat and discouragement, even though he was building the largest missionary organization in the world. And he came to the place of where he understood that he was in Christ, Christ was in him. It changed his life radically overnight. And he became one of the most famous preachers around the world when he would travel and talk about his missionary organization, China Inland Mission. He would talk about abiding and talk about entering into rest. And so he was known to be a man who talked a lot about faith. And one time when he was like in his early 80s, he stood before a church in America, I think in Philadelphia. And they couldn't wait to hear this great man of God talk about faith. And that, and he stood up and he said, "You know, sometimes I just can't believe." So I don't know about you all. He probably didn't say all since he was from England. But I don't know about you, but sometimes there are just times when I just don't seem to have any faith. He said, "But in those times, what I do is I just rest in his faithfulness." Which is really what faith is. See, I think we make a big deal about faith because we're told in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that the just live by faith. That which is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Faith is a big deal. So this life that Christ lives in me, wants to live through me victoriously, is somehow connected to faith. It's grace, but grace is always connected to faith. But in making a big deal about faith, we've made a too big a deal about faith. Because the whole point about faith is you're not supposed to make a big deal about faith. Because the question you might have is, if faith is the victory that overcomes the world, if faith is how I get this Christ who wants to live victoriously in me and through me, manifesting the victory he won at the cross, how do I get that kind of faith? By looking away from faith and seeing his faithfulness. That's how. Because even when you believe not, he abides faithful, for he can't deny himself. And real faith doesn't think about itself. We've created formulas of faith, confessions of faith, we made faith, hard work of faith. Faith is looking away from you, the situation, and simply seeing his faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, it says, verse 11, by faith, even Sarah received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life. She didn't have the ability. She received the ability from another by faith. Well, what did faith look like for her? Because that's a pretty big miracle. She was 90 years old when she got pregnant and had been barren all of her life. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. That's what faith is. How do you get that kind of faith that can abide and appropriate him as my victory, temptation by temptation, situation by situation, opportunity by opportunity? How do you get that faith that releases him to be the overcomer in me and through me? By looking beyond your faith. It's, the whole story about faith is that it's not a faith. If faith were going to talk to you right now, faith would go, it's not about me. If we're talking about me, it's all about him. Faith is looking to him, considering him faithful, had promised, resting in his faithfulness. And that's what faith is. A branch that's abiding isn't straining and struggling, it's resting. And I'll read you this one more. This is her husband's perspective. Actually, I'll read you two more verses. This is Abraham, it says, in hope against hope, verse 18 of Romans 4, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations. So it mattered that he believed. Faith was important. But the important part about faith is not about, you're not supposed to look at your faith. According to that which had been spoken to him, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, and I hear people talk about how, isn't God so good to say that, just that grace statement about Abraham, how he just never wavered in unbelief? But I don't think you understand. The scripture says that he got this when he was about 100 years old. He got the word when he was 75 years old. And for 25 years, he tried everything he could to try to make it happen. But when he was about 100 years old, he got it. And this is what he got. After he had laughed at God, and then Sarah laughed at God that she was going to get pregnant next year. It says in verse 14 of Genesis 18, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And I think that's when he finally got it. After producing Ishmaels and trying the best he could to make it work for 25 years, he finally heard, it's not about us. He needs our participation, but it's about, is anything too difficult for him? And so it says, when he was about 100 years old, and that's when, that chapter 18, it was when he was like 100 years old. She became pregnant when he was 99 years old and gave birth again. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. That's what happened when he was about 100 years old. He considered it was God's ability, not his. Never had been up to him. Had to be participant in it, a joyful participant in trying to make a baby at 90-something years old. And yet with respect to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief after he got that word, almost 100 years old, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. It was all about God. Having become fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. That God was faithful. How do you get the kind of faith that releases the victorious Christ to live his life in me, who is the overcomer? How do I get the kind of faith that's the victory that overcomes the world? Looking beyond your faith and seeing his faithfulness. Forgetting about trying to have faith and look to his faithfulness, and then faith happens. That's what faith is. It's like eyeballs. You don't know they're working until they're looking at an object. Even when we believe not, he abides faithful, because he can't deny himself. If you're convinced of that, if God's given you a promise and you're convinced he can't deny himself and that he's faithful, then you've just exercised faith. It's not about your faith. The whole point about faith is it's not about its faith. The whole point about faith is how you rest in his faithfulness. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.